and a little child shall lead them, on account of the example that we find in Scripture of children. The example of the little girl we read about last week. Remember Naaman and Elisha and Naaman's leprosy. And today, the example of a little boy that we find in John chapter 6. And it teaches us that God can do anything through anybody who desires to serve him. And it's a fallacy for us to believe that God cannot use us because we're not as gifted as someone else, or because we are too young or too old, either in years or in our faith, or because we don't have the knowledge that someone else has, or the abilities, or perhaps, as we see it, the opportunities. If we are willing, God will find a way of using us that may well have the same impact that the gift of the lunch of that little boy had upon the world, upon the crowd in John chapter 6. The occasion in John chapter 6 was, of course, that miracle. The miracle that we all know well, the feeding of the 5,000. A miracle that was so important in the scheme of things that it's listed in each one of the four Gospels. And in John's Gospel, in John chapter 6, it moves on to this great discourse that Jesus had with the people about himself as the bread of life. But for us this morning, it's a miracle that reveals the importance of that one young boy. You know, when Jesus first introduced to his disciples this whole idea of feeding this great hungry crowd of people that was gathered around him, he knew that he had given them a task that they would see as impossible. And Jesus, it seems, is not surprised by the reaction he gets from his disciples. John chapter 6 and verse 7 has Philip responding, and Philip speaks for the whole group. Don't you know that it would take almost a year's wages just to buy only a little bread for each one of these people? Now that's not a strong vote of confidence, is it, in the power of Jesus to work through them? But Jesus wasn't put off by their response. Mark tells us in his account of this that Jesus then said to them, well, how many loaves do you have? Now you can imagine the disciples looking at each other and saying, well, actually, we don't have any. And then he said, well, go and see. And you know, God still does that to his people today in the church, to believers like you and me. Did you know that? He still gives us tasks that at times to us seem impossible. And often we respond to him as the disciples do, with an initial, Lord, that's not possible what you're asking me to do. I can't do it. We can't do it. We haven't got the money. We haven't got the time. We haven't got the manpower. We haven't got the intelligence. We haven't got the knowledge. But you see, the Lord doesn't give up on us. He doesn't say, okay, fair enough, we forget that. Does he? He keeps on bringing the task into our heads and into our hearts with the command, go and see. You go back and think about it again. You go back and check it out. You go back and do some more investigation. Until we begin to trust him to do more in and through us than what we could ever ask or even imagine. I'm looking around. I see Faye over here. I see Jan. I see others. And I see Lee. And I see these people have gone off on mission trips. And every time the Lord said to them, I want you to do it, the first reaction was, no way. And the Lord said, go and see. And they did. And then they went. Last Thursday, we had breakfast club at the church first, and then we had over 55s, and the two kind of run together. It was great to see the place filled that day with people, many of them not church people. And as Terry and Mike and myself setting things up for the over 55, we were using just about every inch of all these buildings, except for this area here. And I mentioned to Terry, I said, you know, we've got great premises to do this type of thing, haven't we? And he said, yeah. And I thought to myself back just over 10 years now, to the time when the Lord first said to his people here, hey, I want you to enlarge your buildings. We had buildings about a third of this size. And the main response was, Lord, that's impossible. We don't have any money. We're really not strong on manpower. Most of our people are retirees. And there were even some who were saying, I'm not even sure we've got the need for them. But the Lord said to us, well, go and see. And we began to investigate. And if we investigate, so the Lord began to open doors, open windows, began to pour in stuff. Suddenly we discovered that we did have access to more money than we realized. And then the money flowed in an amazing way. And there were so many amazing stories that came out of that time. Things the Lord did, which to my mind were just like miracles. And today we have buildings. And you know what? We are using these buildings well. And we're using them to connect with our community. The disciples also went to see, as the Lord told them to. And what did they find? They found this one young fellow with his lunchbox. This meal, which was a poor boy's lunch. We're told that in those days, the rich people made their rolls out of wheat. The poor people made it out of barley. What did he have? He had five small barley loaves. Rolls, and two small sardine-type fish. And yet, what he had was important to God. What he had to offer was important to Jesus. Although others around him probably saw it as so insignificant that it was not even worth mentioning. Yet Jesus chose to use him and his offering to perform one of his greatest miracles. I find that so exciting. Could Jesus have fed that crowd without involving that little fella and his lunch? Of course he could have done. Do you remember the temptations? The devil said to Jesus, look at these rocks here. You can make bread out of them and eat. And Jesus chose not to because that would have been just for himself. But he never said he couldn't do it. He could have done what he wanted to if he wished. But when he asked Philip about buying food for this great crowd, the scripture tells us that Jesus already knew what he was going to do. And I reckon he also knew that he would use this little boy's lunch. Now this youth, this young fella, is very important in God's plan. Not because he had a great gift to give. In fact, it was a rather meagre gift when you think about it. Five little rolls and two little fish. But because Jesus chose to use him in his work that day. And God delights, he really does, he delights to use you and me in the work of his kingdom. Hear that well. He really delights to use. There's no one who delights to use more than what God does. He really gets excited about using you to do what he will do through you. And that makes us an important part of what God is doing on this earth now. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but right now. Now you might consider what you do for the Lord as very small. You'll probably never get much acclamation from others for what you do. They may not even notice that you taught in the Jesus Gift, or helped out at Kids Club, or did the washing for a family that was going through a crisis, or cooked a meal for another family that had need. Like this young fella whose name we're not even told. You will never see your name up in lights. But God knows your acts of love. He knows your acts of service done unto him. And to him, you are just so important. And God also sees your gift as important. What that little fella gave to Jesus wasn't really worth much. But its value in the hands of Jesus was enormous. It was immense. Because of what Jesus did with it. He used it to feed 5,000 plus people. But it was also immense because what lay behind that gift was an act of love and an act of sacrifice. The scripture tells us that when Andrew returned from his going and seeing, he was not alone. John tells us in 6:9 what Andrew said to Jesus. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. Did you notice that? Here is a boy. Andrew did not just bring back the lunchbox. The boy came too. And I can understand that. The boy didn't want to be parted from his lunchbox until he saw that he did what he was wanted it to do. He wanted to be there in person to give his gift to Jesus. He was a boy. Can you imagine the disciples going through the crowd saying, anybody got any bread? Anybody got any food? The master needs it. Anybody got any food? Jesus needs it. The little boy said, I've got some. And when he gave his gift, as far as he was concerned, it was Jesus who needed his lunch. And he was thrilled about that. He had seen through that long day what Jesus did for others. He'd seen miracles. He'd heard his words. And in what I sense was a growing affection for Jesus, he came now to offer Jesus his small lunch. And for him, that was no small gift. It was his lunch. Something he should have eaten hours before. But being a boy, he got caught up in everything that was happening and didn't get round to eating. But now, as he comes and he holds it in his hands, no doubt he starts to feel rather hungry. But even so, he's prepared to give it all to Jesus. All his food, the whole lot, to Jesus. And I've discovered that the gifts that the Lord delights in, what he delights to receive, whether it's in the form of our time or our ability or material objects, are those given out of love for him and out of cost to us. You know, the size of the gift, when you think about it, is the least important part, isn't it? For if he can use a small lunch to feed 5,000 plus people, then he can use what we give him in an amazing way. As long as we give it out of love, holding nothing back. But the other encouraging thing I find about this boy's gift is it led to the involvement of others. It was principally used by Jesus, of course, to feed the crowd. And they were so inspired by it that if you read to the end of the chapter, you notice that they began to talk amongst themselves about the prophet who is to come into the world. That's how inspired they were. But in a secondary way, in a secondary sense, his small gift motivated the rest of the disciples to be involved. Now, Andrew may have been very hesitant in offering that gift to Jesus. He says, but how far will they go among so many? Yet after Jesus gladly accepted that little lunch, and I can imagine the Lord getting quite excited about it. Oh, great, this is what I need. I don't think he turned around and said, oh, why bring that to me? He didn't. He didn't say, oh, what a small thing to offer. He didn't. He got excited about it. I'm sure. He gladly received it. And after that, well, the rest of the 12 got quite enthusiastic and became enthusiastic helpers of the Lord and co-workers with him in his miraculous act. The boy's gift was not much to speak of. Let me emphasize that. It was a few small barley loaves and two little fish. But it was exactly what Jesus needed. And by giving that gift, he encouraged and enabled others to be involved in the work of the kingdom. There's a great and ancient parable about an old crow who was out in the wilderness and very, very thirsty. He hadn't had a drink for a long, long time. Then he came to a jug that had a little water in the bottom of it. The old crow reached his beak into the jug to get some of that water, but his beak wouldn't quite touch the water. So what did he do? He started picking up pebbles, one at a time, and dropping them into the jug. And as more and more pebbles accumulated in the bottom of the jug, so the water rose. Until finally the old crow was able to drink as much as he desired. And that's the parable. A parable of how God has chosen to work out his plan in our world and how he worked in this story. You see, each believer is dropping in our own little pebble into the jug. Be it that young boy giving his lunch, that was a pebble. Or Andrew taking him and his lunch to Jesus, that was another pebble. Or the rest of the disciples organizing the people and giving out the food. Or in our case, it may be someone teaching a Sunday school class. Another serving as a deacon. Another visiting a lonely neighbour. Another being part of the music team. Another welcoming people on the door. Another mentoring at the school. Another cooking at the camp. And so on and so on and so on. Doing what we can do to serve Jesus may not seem all that important at the time. But as the pebbles accumulate in the bottom of the jug, and the water rises, so people are able to come and drink the living water. And God builds his kingdom and brings his plan to fruition. Now, this story, so well known, reminds us we should never underestimate the value of the gift that we offer to God. Whether that is our time, our abilities, our possessions. If we give it out of love, if we give it as a sacrifice, then he will use it, as he used the lunch of that little boy to build his kingdom and to encourage and motivate others in their service for him.